from the Carter Subaru Studios, this is the G and Ursula Show with G Scott and Ursula Wojtyn.
Good morning, happy Thursday, and thank you for listening to the G and Ursula Show. Ursula is out today, but don't you worry. My main man and former co-host from Cairo Nights joins us. Good morning, Aaron Mason.
Good morning, G. Scott. How are you, buddy?
I'm good, Brother Mace. Now let me pull the curtains back, brother.
Okay.
You don't really like waking up early in the morning. How are you doing?
Well, I am genetically and socially a night owl, you could say. But it makes a big difference when it's coming in to do something like this, right, Heather?
Yeah,
like,
G,
it's upbeat. I love you guys. Like, yeah.
Right, and
it's
you're sitting upright. Gee, he is sitting upright. But I'm prepared, and so is Chef, should he want to snooze.
Just keep that coffee coming, and I'll
be
all
right. We got it.
Hey, Heather, yesterday I tried to ask, but you had left yesterday. So we looking good this week on the weather, huh?
Yeah, we are. We have Ursula Wojtyn weather, is what we have here.
Oh,
highs in the 70s. She's suspiciously gone this week.
Yeah, weird.
Weird.
Coincidence.
But here's my thing.
Yeah.
Why do you want to waste a vacation day going somewhere else when it's beautiful
right
here in Seattle?
No joke, man.
Yeah. Good point. Except you can't predict the weather around here.
Yeah,
I mean, it's a toss-up.
Heather, just so you know, because Aaron Mason's part of the show, I'm going to come in tomorrow just for him.
No way.
Yeah, just for me, wink, wink.
That's
can you
awesome
imagine?
I know. Is he bringing donuts? That's
gee,
the real thing.
Gee, great question.
You guys really just use me for my donuts? Yeah, I'm bringing donuts.
That's why Heather's got those reporter awards. She asked the real questions. People want to know. Right.
Can't wait to see you.
All right, let's get to it. Ursula's top five news stories of the day, brought to you by Economy Fence Center.
Hey, it's Troyer.
What can I do for you?
I'm at 27th and Deidre in Tacoma, North End, about two blocks from my house, and I caught some in my driveway who just threatened to kill me, and they blocked him in.
So Pierce County taxpayers could be on the hook for $5 million. That is, if the newspaper carrier who was confronted by Pierce County Sheriff Ed Troyer wins a new lawsuit filed against the county. The suit claims that Cedric Altimer's constitutional rights were violated and he suffered emotional distress from the incident. Just a reminder that a former U.S. attorney is still investigating this incident on behalf of the Pierce County Council, and Sheriff Troyer remains under criminal investigation by the state attorney general's office.
The call, Mason, that helped trigger a urgent signal to all of law enforcement. 42 officers, deputies, troopers started to respond to the scene. Nearly all of them were called off after the first Tacoma officers arrived and found no danger. As a matter of fact, I always talk about receipts, a police report written by one of the police officers, Tacoma police officers at the time, says the sheriff told him that Altimer's never made threats. That's in a police report.
Mm-hmm.
So let me just say this. Do I think that this is going to be a $5 million win? No, I think this will eventually be settled out of court. But if you are a taxpayer in Pierce County, I want to remind you of something. You are going to be paying for the defense for Ed Troyer. So just know that. So not only are you going to be paying, the county's going to be paying for the lawyers for Ed Troyer. You're also going to be paying for, which would probably be a settlement, because let me repeat again, the officer on the scene says the sheriff told him that there were never threats.
Yeah, this is a confusing story for me. The thing I don't understand is, or the thing that's unclear at least, is this could have been a mistake, right? I want to sort of go into this and think like, okay, there was a miscommunication. It could have been an honest mistake. What happened? But what I don't understand is sort of the reaction that throws me off. The reaction from Ed Troyer just doesn't. As Tone Loke said in Ace Ventura: Pet Detective, something ain't stirring the Kool-Aid, man. Like, there's just something very weird about it, and it doesn't seem to line up. So I am inclined to believe Mr. Altimer here. Also, that $5 million, I know a lot of people, when these kinds of things come out, critics will say, or it's a money grab, right? They're just going after, trying to get a settlement, trying to cash in on this thing. And I just don't. I guess I'm not that cynical. I don't believe that every time. $5 million is a lot of money, but how else are you going to get your point across? You know what I mean? Like if it's like a $100, it's a $100,000 fine for Amazon if they do something wrong. Like, they got it. That's a slap on the wrist. It's not going to mean anything. It's got to be a significant consequence if you want to have something changed, right?
I'm glad you're right, Mace. I'm glad you brought up the part about, I didn't know where you were going when you was like, oh, so I'm confused. And I was like, you're confused? What are you confused about? But now you made it make sense when you said you're confused by the reaction from this. Like, mm-hmm. you know, was it a mistake or not? And
if it was, why wouldn't you just say that?
That's what I've been saying the entire time. As a matter of fact, I do believe that there are people down here that think the same thing. Like, dude, just say it was a mistake.
Yeah, take the L and walk away.
Don't double down for it.
Right.
Make the mistake. You've made the mistake and go forward. Now you're dragging this out. Now there's going to be a lawsuit. And by the way, this is a good chance. I don't think it's going to be $5 million. But this person is going, it's written down. The call is right there. Yeah. It's your voice, not anybody else's voice. It's your voice saying you got threatened. It is on record that 42 officers, deputies, and troopers were on the way. So, again, I understand what you're saying by your confusion, but it feels as if right now this is par for the course.
It turns out Congress can agree on something, both the House and the Senate. So after a unanimous vote in the Senate, the U.S. House of Representatives overwhelmingly voted to make Juneteenth the first new federal holiday since Martin Luther King Jr. Day passed in 1983. Yeah. President Biden will sign the bill, and that'll set aside a day for Americans to recognize June 19th, the day that slaves were actually emancipated in our country. G. Scott, your thoughts on this passing?
I'm torn. Mm-hmm. I'm torn the same way that, let me set the stage for you. Your boss calls you into their office and says, you know what? You've been doing a phenomenal job. Here is a 10 cents raise.
Right.
Are you happy? Well,
I mean, it's something.
Right. Okay. Did I illustrate? Did I kind of paint the picture of where I am? Yes, it's something.
Right.
But at the same time, the boss is like, you got anything else to say? And you're like, well, I don't want you to think I'm not grateful, because I am grateful for this. I'm grateful that we're talking about it. But if it was like, okay, G, well, what would you have rather wanted? Well, boss, you know what? Instead of that 10 cent raise, how about you would have given me a couple extra days holiday here, or maybe a bonus here or there? Let me get that. And so, well, G, well, if you don't want this holiday, what do you want? Okay. How about we just teach about it in schools? And how about we stop with the voter suppression in this country?
Yeah.
How about there's some other things that are going on? How about we raise the federal minimum wage from $7.25? Again, I'm painting the picture that way because there are some people who are going to say, well, gee, you're not happy about that. I'm happy about the holiday, okay? But I'm not just kumbaya and jumping on my trampoline doing backflips.
Right.
It's great, but there's so many other things in this country, Mason. I just feel like here's the Juneteenth. You guys happy?
Yeah, that was sort of my reaction yesterday. Was like, okay, all right, good. That's great, but it just seems so low on the list of things that people are asking for. Your example was the 10 cent raise example is great. Like, well, what else would you like? Well, I mean, I kind of would like to be scheduled over 35 hours a week that you keep me under so you don't have to pay me benefits so I can live my life. Like, there's some like real world actual things.
Come on.
That black people need in this country, want in this country, deserve in this country, have been asking for a long time. And all right. At least it's something, but it's a far, far shot from where we should be and need to go.
Gee.
Yes.
I got to say, man, why are you mad at breakfast? Why are you mad at breakfast? I got to tell you, I was listening to an interview with Barack Obama and Ezra Klein yesterday. Mm-hmm. And one of the points he made is one of the issues we have in our country, especially with progressives, is that we complain about taking one step forward instead of celebrating the fact that we are taking that step. Now, even the folks who don't care about the holiday, etc., look, next year you still get an extra three-day weekend. June 19th will fall on a Sunday, so any federal holiday that falls on the weekend, you get that following Monday off. But I got to ask you, buddy, my initial instinct is to ask you, is it okay to just, you know, tell my black friends, hey, happy Juneteenth, or is that poor form?
No.
Great question, Chef. Thank you for asking it.
Oh, thanks, Mace.
Because we're wondering, he and I.
I mean, if you want, right? But I just for me personally, no, you don't have to tell me happy Juneteenth. I mean, you can. I mean, I guess it's the same way that we say things like, hey, happy 4th. Right? That's a known thing.
For me, I never know what to do about, like, on Veterans Day and talking to people who have served. Like, do you say thank you for your service? I've heard some people say, like, I don't really want to hear that.
I say thank you for your service. As a matter of fact, anytime I see military, mm-hmm. I tell them thank you for your service. And guys, look. You got me. I'm mad at breakfast. I apologize, okay? I tried to set the table for you guys. I tried to give the metaphor, the example of going into the boss's office and accepting that 10-cent raise. Mm-hmm. Am I happy about the 10-cent raise? Yes, boss. I'm happy about the 10-cent raise. Mm-hmm. Is there anything else? You know what? Let me leave your office. Let me just go away and just let me be happy about the 10-cent raise. But there's one thing. I want to just add this one thing and this is what I'm not looking forward to. I got to get this out there. I'm not saying Starbucks is doing it, but I am not looking forward to Starbucks saying, hey, Juneteenth, we have your Pan-African brew that's on tap, right?
Right.
I'm not,
right.
I'm not, you know.
Right.
Caramel mochas.
Yeah.
Right.
Hey, come on down to get your 20% off Juneteenth mattress sale.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Okay. But again, I'll admit, you got me. I am mad at breakfast. I need to do better.
All right, so while America marks a new federal holiday, the fight over what history is taught in our schools and how is ramping up. For this, we go to Whidbey Island, where 140 conservative protesters gathered last week to challenge the, quote, indoctrination of our children in schools with critical race theory. So according to the Everett Herald, those protesters were met by 360 counter-protesters, including student leaders who had actually petitioned themselves the district to teach a new ethnic studies class and hang a Black Lives Matter banner in the local high school. Maureen Green, she's one of the protest organizers. She's also the wife of a school board member. She told the John Carlson radio show that she objected to the banner because, quote, in our community, there are very few people of color. Most of the kids are white. I saw no reason to put it there other than they were trying to make a statement, and it has totally divided our community.
Wow. You can't stop change. Let me start off by saying that. I also want to start off by giving a reminder. I want to remind everyone that we haven't seen a single teacher who actually studied critical race theory, and then taught it to their students. There's none on record. It has not happened yet. As a matter of fact, we still have not seen a lesson plan in America where in social studies, kids left out by saying, you know what, I hate white people. That hasn't happened. But I'll say this. I'm tired of buzzwords.
Dude, me too.
I'm tired of slogans.
Me too.
Because what it is, it's an easy thing to argue,
yeah.
Right?
Yep.
I can't stand the sound, the saying. As a matter of fact,
I don't know what it means.
This is what I want this to be my last day saying critical race theory. And here's why. Hear me out. Here's why. Because you got a bunch of adults that are arguing about this, right? Everybody's arguing about it, what it should be. And what everybody's arguing, like, you're just going to drop this in a K-12 curriculum? When the adults and most people talking about it don't even know what it is. So here's my suggestion going forward. How about we just teach history? How about we just teach real history in school? That's what's going to happen. So for an example, when you start talking about what happened in 1619, right? And you start what happened over in Boston, you start telling the real story on what happened, right? You talk about Juneteenth. You talk about these things. But when you start naming things, hey, Mace, how did Defund the Police do?
Yeah, right. Exactly. Not well. And it became divisive. It's the same thing. Like, they're complaining about this Black Lives Matter banner. Black Lives Matter is a perfect example of a phrase or a slogan that has been just grossly misinterpreted and weaponized by people who want to use it to divide. And it's an awful thing. It's terrible.
We have to get to the point where we talk past hashtags and slogans and names. We're arguing about names.
Yeah.
We're not even arguing about the substance and the content. We're arguing about the names to defund the police, critical race theory, Black Lives Matter. We're not even getting deeper. So what I'm saying is that I'm just frustrated that this is becoming a talking point, and it's going to stay this way until the 2022 elections, because that's going to help with that, and it's going to keep everybody divided.
The murder hornet.
Murder hornets.
Murder hornets.
Murder hornets.
Invading the U.S. and Canada.
Oh, guys, the murder hornets, they are migrating. So the first Asian giant hornet found in the U.S. outside of Washington or Whatcom County did turn up in Marysville. And although it was dead, state officials believe it came from a separate population than those found to the north and speculate it may have hitched a ride across the ocean on a cargo ship. Aaron Mason, what do you think? Cause for concern?
Always. I mean, it's right there in the name, murder and hornet. I am opposed to both of those things at all times. Yeah, this is, I mean, we've seen what happens with invasive species or things that don't belong. The web that nature has created, the complex web that makes up an ecosystem, is so frail, is so fragile. And we've seen what happens when you introduce something that nature didn't put there. Add on top of that, it's the biggest bee I've ever seen in my life, and it's eating, it's a cannibal, it's disastrous. I don't want any of this. Yeah,
man,
I'm worried.
All I know is this. Look, we only get so many sunny days in the Pacific Northwest, right, during the year. Could you imagine if half those days are taken away? It's like, oh, there's a murder hornet warning, so we are advising everyone to not have barbecues. Hold up, man. I need my barbecue time. I need my backyard.
Do you know what the winter is like here? I need this day.
And so there's a lot of people like, gee, you guys are worried about nothing. You know what? That's how it always starts, right? It always starts that way. And then when it gets too bad, then it's like we try to tell you what's going on.
Every disaster movie that's ever happened, there's one guy who's like, something bad's coming, and everyone's like, shut up, you.
What, Chef? Go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. You know what? I'm not really worried about this. I remember being 8 years old and being terrified that killer bees
were going
to take over my backyard. Did that happen? No. This is just a natural effect of globalization. And you know what the worst invasive species is? Us.
Humans,
the hornets,
man.
Will be fine.
Yeah. Well, I saw the killer bees, and I thought it was just going to stay on TV. Didn't know it was going to come here to the state of Washington. Shout out to all everybody in Whatcom County. Whatcom, I'm with y'all. I'm with y'all. coming up next, yo, this is wild and crazy. You guys know Chris Sullivan, right? We call him Sully. He takes care of the traffic. You know, you mean to tell me Sully had to call people's bosses to let them know that there was too much traffic? We get to the bottom of this next. Jen Ursula with Mace.
Traffic. No more traffic.
Well, Washington State is going to shut down I-5. So, to tell us when and why, we're joined by Chris Sullivan. Sully, good morning, brother.
Sully.
Hey, G. Hey, Mace. What's up,
man?
Hey, good to talk to you guys.
Oh, man, I'm hearing some mic stuff.
You sound like you are under I-5 right now, bro.
Really? Is it any better? I'm wiggling my wires.
No. we just want to try to find out what's happening with I-5, Sully.
Well, my wire's still crossed.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a little funky.
Crossed.
Yeah, well.
Might have to call and just make another connection or something like that. So, I mean, that's
I'll
all
just
right.
Get chefs on it. Okay.
You
guys vamp. You're good at that.
Yeah, stretch out. You do like the stretchy thing with your hands. Stretch it out. We need some time.
Now, when Sully does come back, first of all, we got to get down to business. We got to find out why there's going to be a shutdown on I-5.
Sure.
We got to definitely find out about that. But the one thing that I want to get to the bottom of, yo, He was calling people's bosses.
Yeah. Okay. You told me this, and we didn't go into it. I was sort of saving it for air. But so traffic was so bad that Sully was calling listeners' bosses.
Yeah, I guess somebody was like, I guess there was a 2-hour delay backup, and he's basically like, hey, call the bosses. Sully, how you there, bro?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, there we go.
All right.
Nice first work, Ellis. Yeah,
let's get down to business first. What is happening with I-5?
Okay, well, they're starting up what we've been calling the Revive I-5 project. They're doing some pavement work, expansion joint repair over the next couple of summers. And this is the first weekend coming up of 16 where they are going to be closing down I-5 southbound through Seattle. So I'm warning you guys, this is next weekend, not coming up tomorrow. And this week's next weekend. If you're driving southbound on I-5, you're going to be forced off the freeway at I-90, and you're going to be funneled down in one lane all the way down through Spokane Street. They're basically closing southbound the freeway from I-90 to Spokane Street, the West Seattle Bridge, so they can get this construction work done. And that is going to make getting around Seattle just monstrous.
Oof. And this is going to start next weekend, and it's going to be all weekend long, right, Sully?
That is correct. From 7 o'clock Friday night on the 25th through 5 a.m. on the 28th next weekend, basically southbound I-5 is going to be out of commission. We got a Sounders match that Saturday. Good luck getting to that if you're coming out of the north end, because you're going to be stuck. I mean, you got to start planning now. That's why I was talking about it today, is give you guys about a week to figure out what you're going to do next weekend, because this is about as restrictive as it can get through Seattle when we take out I-5.
Sully, I want to this. First of all, this makes me wistful for the days of last year when there were no cars on the road and we could all just get where we need to go as fast as possible. The drive from like Everett to Seattle had never been faster. But on Tuesday, there was it took people like 2 hours to get to Seattle. There was some standstill happening. What was that?
Oh, on Tuesday, what happened? Okay, this is going to take me a little bit to explain, so bear with me.
Okay.
Someone the night before was going northbound on I-5 right at the U District and clipped one of the light poles. That light pole was then leaning over the express lanes. They found that in the morning, so they couldn't open the express lanes in the southbound direction. They were worried that power pole was going to fall onto traffic. So that's all a result of the express lanes being closed on southbound I-5. And that shows you how much they carry because, that backed us up basically from Northgate all the way up to the Everett Mall. At one point, there was a 16-mile backup because you couldn't use the express lanes in the morning. So that was what that was all about. That was an emergency safety repair that they had to make because that just shows you what our traffic patterns are like. And if you take out one little piece of our tiny puzzle,
right,
it can mess things up for everybody.
Are we back to business as usual, traffic-wise?
Pretty much.
Yeah, okay.
I would say probably within 85 to 90%. I mean, I've been seeing it the last couple of weeks on I-5 in the morning, in the going northbound, 405 in the morning, the southbound drives coming down here from Snohomish County. Yeah, I'd pretty much say it's fair to say that we're pretty close to back to pre-COVID, even with the number of people that are still working from home.
Can we get to the good stuff, man? I've been sitting here this entire time. You know what I want to talk about, Sully. The only reason why I'm having you on right now. Get to the bottom of
this, man.
Whose jobs you was calling, bruh?
Oh, you heard that this week?
Come on, man. That's what I want to know.
Okay, so I like to tell everybody, I'll give them personalized traffic reports. I've done that to you, G. I was like, dude, wherever you're going, you head to the airport.
It's true.
You know, just text me. I'll tell you what you need to do. And so I told the guys, I was like, listen, you guys are stuck in this 2-hour backup because the express lanes are closed.
Yeah.
You know, now's the time to call your boss, tell him you're not going to be late. You know what? You need an excuse. Send me a note. I'll figure it out. So this guy, Andrew, texted me on the state roofing text line and said, hey, can you call my boss? Here's the number. And I'm like, sure. I said I'd do it on the air. I'm not going to lie to you. So I called up the guy's boss, asked for the woman that he had told me to ask for. She had stepped away from her desk, so I talked to another employee and was like, listen, I know you don't believe this. My name's Chris. I'm a traffic guy at Tyra Radio. This isn't a joke. You're not on the air. I just want to let you know, Andrew called me, and he said he was stuck in this mess on I-5. He's like, oh, yeah, I heard about that mess. He's in that thing? Like, yeah. He just wanted me to call and let you know that he's going to be late because I told him I'd do it on the air. And the guy's like, you're serious, right? Like, yeah, I'm totally serious. So, yeah, that's the kind of thing I will do. Now, I'm not sure how many volume calls I can take, but I did it for Andrew because I'm a man of my word.
Bro, have you met anyone who is as passionate about anything as Sully is about helping people get to work? It's inspiring, man.
I just want to tell it to you. We only got about 30 seconds. And one time, I can't remember this, Sully, but I was getting ready to go somewhere. And I'm like, hey, Sully, I'm going somewhere. They're saying it's going to be some traffic. He's like, okay, cool. Now, usually, Sully, the average person would be like, okay, do this, do that. Sully had a detailed list on what to do. Like, almost to the point, like, and if you have to use the restroom, stop off at this restroom right here. The bathroom's a little clean right here. But if you go there, like, Sully, where do you get your passion for traffic, bruh?
I don't know. They threw me into this, you know, from being a regular reporter into training. And I'm like, you know what? If I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it the best I can.
Yeah.
I love helping people. I hate when people are late to work and stuff like that. So I want them to get around with as less pain in the butt as possible. And, yeah, so that's just, I mean, I like helping people. And I've got things, I can see things they can't. And, yeah, I'm happy to do it.
Look at that.
Well, we'll appreciate you, Sully. Have a great rest of your day. And I'm glad your wires aren't tangled anymore.
Yeah, well, I'll see what I can do about that. I got a show to do tomorrow. I guess I better break out the flyers.
Absolutely. Hey, coming up next, there is a story that happened about 3 years ago. Well, it's in the news now because there is a lawsuit against law enforcement for telling a lie. We'll explain what that is next. Gian Ursula with Mace. It is the Gian Ursula Show. Aaron Mason joins in for Ursula today.
Hello.
Three years after a Seattle man took his own life, Porter Feller's family is suing the city of Seattle, claiming the lie an SPD officer told him led to his suicide. Now, Feller hit another driver in a minor accident that didn't injure anyone, but Feller drove off. It was a hit and run. When a Seattle police officer went looking for Feller, on investigation of hit and run, he told Feller's friend someone had been critically injured. Didi's son obtained the body and dash cam footage of that.
In this video, you can hear Officer Matthew Kirby saying he planned to use a ruse.
It's a lie, but it's fun.
He said, it's a lie, but it's fun. Body camera video then shows Kirby telling the lie to Feller's friend.
So we're asking if he was involved in a hit and run earlier, left the woman in critical condition when he left her.
When did that happen?
It was earlier today.
Yeah.
She might not survive.
Now, Feller killed himself 5 days later. He told friends that knowing he'd critically injured someone was making him feel suicidal. And Seattle's Office of Police Accountability's own report found it clear that the ruse was at least in part a cause of the subject's suicide. The report also indicated Kirby abused his discretion and that the specific ruse used here shocked fundamental fairness. Mace, your thoughts?
I feel is sad, really. This whole thing is upsetting. I understand, very limited understanding, but I understand that law enforcement can bend the truth, can use, lies to get what they need. I understand that to a degree that does happen. You know, you're interviewing two suspects and you tell the one, hey, your buddy told us this thing when they didn't, and then you get them to confess something or information out of them. Right. I understand that. But sure. this was an incident that did not warrant that sort of strategy, if you will. And the fact that this happened, I think it's just a huge bummer, and completely the disregard you heard on that tape, the like, it's fun. That's just a horrible thing to do to someone.
first, I want to give respect to the family and friends of this man. I'm sorry for your loss. It's just a tragedy that it happened. Now, let me weigh in with my opinion on this. If I'm the judge, I absolutely throw this case absolutely out. Does not see the light of day. Yes, this officer was punished for 6 days because of this ruse that he told. And in the ruse, and by the way, this was captured because the officer kept his body cam on the entire time. And after they told that ruse to try to find out where the person who did the hit and run was, 5 days later, Feller committed suicide using a lethal combination of drugs. That's how he did the suicide. So, I mean, yes, could it have been suicide? It could have been. But could it have been an overdose? People get mad at me, Mace, when I say things like yes or no. Well, I have a yes or no question. Yes or no, did this person do a lot of drugs?
Right.
I'm not going to answer that. But that would be my question. That's yes or no. Yes or no, did this whole thing start because of a hit and run? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm saying is this. If we're going to get to the point where we don't want officers to use a ruse to get the bottom of a case, then I don't know what world we're going to live in. Because yes or no, do we want crime solved or not? You can't pick and choose when you want an officer to lie. If I come to you and there's something that happened to your family and your loved one, and then I say to you, hey, sir, ma'am, we're probably not going to solve your case. Why? Because we can't. We have to tell the truth every time as we're investigating.
But if no one was hurt, which was the case, I think it's overstepping your bounds. I think it's misusing what could be an effective law enforcement tactic in certain situations to tell you that you're responsible for someone who is dying.
Okay.
When they're not.
Okay, and that's why I said I remember talking about this in May of 2018. And I said the same thing then as I'm saying right now. That officer was suspended for 6 days. I don't think anything else should happen to this officer.
Mm.
Now, you're right, Mace. I'm glad nobody was hurt. But my question is this. What if somebody would have been hurt? Well, that person didn't stick around because it was a hit and run.
What if?
We needed more time. Coming up next, three things that you need to know. It's the G and Ursa Show.